The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, yesterday on the show, people will remember that I was joined by Brendan Gleeson, the Irish acting great, and we were talking about Beauty's Big Coffee Morning for Hospice. September 26th is when it is happening. And we touched on a few different things about hospice care and about end-of-life care and mortality more broadly. And my next guest got in touch after hearing Brendan speak and wanted to put across her own story, her own view on her mortality. Audrey Farrelly is on the line. Audrey, I know some of the points that Brendan made resonated with you, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. But first, maybe bring us back 10 years ago and tell us what happened to you, physically what happened.
In December 2013, on my daughter's 18th birthday, I basically collapsed when I tried to get out of bed. And I was brought to the emergency department in St. Vincent's Hospital. And I was never to walk properly again. I underwent surgery. The coincidence actually with the dates was that I had been following the Marie Fleming case from April 2013. And on the 20th of December, Marie had died. And I had really been following that case and hoping against all hope that she would have her wish granted by the court so that she could end her life in her way. So to think that I actually was in hospital and heard the news that she died was just strangely ironic and sad. But I underwent surgery on the 26th of December. I was told a few months later I'd failed spinal surgery syndrome, and 6 months after that I was diagnosed with chronic neuropathic pain disease. So since then I have been dealing with that. I have had numerous spinal operations. I get a lot of pain block treatments and procedures. I'm on a lot of medication. I've tried a lot of medication, and I just found myself grappling with this thought of Marie didn't get her way. Vicky Phelan spoke about end of life, and when I was listening to the interview yesterday, it was just so relatable on so many levels, because I suppose you asked the question like to Brendan about mortality, and he said, oh, he'd be only too delighted to talk to you about mortality. And I thought, you know, we really all should be delighted to talk about mortality, because it's the only thing we're all guaranteed of. So just like Brendan, my dad had in 2019 celebrated the so-called rounded birthday. He turned 80. He was fit, he was healthy, he was active, he played bowls up in Marley Park, he was as sharp as a razor, a true gentleman and dressed to impress. He always looked fantastic. And because I had decided probably somewhere around 2021 to engage with End of Life Ireland and to speak to Janie Lazar, I had talked to Mum and Dad about it and told them that I didn't want to suffer at my end of life. So it kind of opened up the subject at home. I did an interview with Bo Donnelly on the Sunday Times. I spoke very openly about saying I'm not suicidal. I just don't want to endure any more pain that I'm already going through at the moment when I'm ready to go. So Dad was well aware of that, and Dad had actually spoken to me about his wishes, which were to go to Harold's Cross Hospice. His own dad had passed away there in 1985. So my dad would regularly contribute to, you know, different events, or he would, you know, make donations, especially at Christmas time. We all got the lovely light candle or whatever, that ceremony they do at Christmas. He always went down and supported that.
Yeah.
So there was just a lot, you know, crossovers with things he said. You know, when he said, like, you know, people fall down the stairs, and like Brendan, this is now I'm talking about, when he said people fall down the stairs, lose their life, he felt he was lucky. I thought, well, I didn't lose my legs, but I lost my ability to walk. And then the one thing he said was he asked for his dignity to be maintained, and that's all Dad had asked for. And that's where I crumbled, because I thought I didn't get a chance. None of us did. We all wanted him to have dignity at his end of life, but we didn't know he was going to die, and we certainly weren't prepared for it. But I had to ask, if Brendan had been asked, did he think that he was going to be assured of that dignity at his end of life? I want to know, can I be assured of it? Because I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid of how I'll die. I'm afraid of how I'll suffer if I'm already suffering daily, and I'm also afraid of what my family would have to witness. That's the scary part.
Is that because you remember so acutely what you witnessed with your dad?
I suppose when you're very, very ill, which I was back in between 2013 and 2015, I would have been on a lot of medication. It kind of sends you into a state of not really being logical. So I think I thought I was staring down the barrel of a gun, because I was on so much medication. I was on, you know, really strong medication. Thank goodness I'm not on today, so I can speak to you. But yes, I probably imagined what would it be like if I'm in this type of pain now, and I knew how upsetting it was for my family to see me that ill. What was it going to be like if I had to endure any more pain on top of my already excruciating pain when I died? And how would they handle that? And then, you know, only this year, after becoming a member of End of Life Ireland and dealing with Janie Lazar, and she's just absolutely fantastic, with a great group, and meeting up with Tom Curran, who's Mary Fleming's husband or partner, I'm not sure. It just made me pick up the baton again and think, no, I need to reconnect with Janie, tell her how Dad passed, how I felt I didn't serve him well at the end by getting him into the hospice rather than the prison-like system he was in. And I suppose I'm speaking for anybody out there who is in the same position.
Yeah.
Being the advocate in a hospital, you so badly want your loved one to live. But if they're at death, if they're at death's door, why prolong their, you know, why prolong their agony? If,
yeah,
especially in the case like we had End of Life Ireland, I had gone into two sessions with End of Life Ireland with Tom Curran and Justin McKenna. Brendan O'Shea is another GP. He's part of the Irish Medical Assisted in Dying group of GPs. And I had gone into two sessions in the Oireachtas. And
yeah,
I suppose everything just became very real when the special committee listened to us and then said, yes, you know, this needs to be talked further. We need to discuss it. And the fact that the World Conference on the Right to Die is being held in Dublin this year, in September, kind of brought a lot of roads into one junction for me. Everything just seemed to come together all at once. Grieving Dad, listening to Brendan yesterday, re-engaging with Janie only in the last couple of weeks, and trying to tie things together so that no other family would face this scenario. They shouldn't. We need to talk about death, and we need to talk about what families' wishes are around death.
And have you talked about that, Audrey, in your family? So you mentioned your daughter's 18th birthday was 10 years ago and this happened, so they're kind of, she's at least 28 now anyway,
He's 28. My son is 23. Yeah.
And do they know that these are your feelings? And I know, I appreciate the point you make. Listen, this is not imminent, but do they know that this is your wish?
They do, yeah.
And how do they feel about that?
They know I don't want to die, because they know that the people who are living a quality life are not thinking of dying. It's only the people who are actually facing death who think about death. So they know I'm not ready to go. I'll keep trying. I'll try anything and everything. I've had a spinal cord stimulator fitted twice. I'm actually due to have another one fitted this year, which will be, I've had one fitted twice, but one removed. So I still have one in situ, but I will have, please God, another one fitted for my head, neck and shoulder pain before the end of this year. So they know I'm trying everything, and I'm off all the horrible, nasty, strong medications. I was on everything from OxyContin, OxyNorm, Lyrica. Oh, look, the list is endless. I think at one stage I was on 22 tablets a day and I didn't know my own name. So I've been through it all, and they know I'm fighting and I'm not going to give up. But when I do feel that I have exhausted every avenue, and when I do feel that I cannot tolerate the pain, and when I know that people who have a terminal diagnosis and may be told, you've only 6 months to live, I really think that death could be kinder. I think we could allow them have that choice. Not everyone has to make the choice, but let the choice be there. So that if somebody says, well, look, I've really given this my all, and can I just have everybody around and let's make this a celebration of my life, and I can say goodbye to people while I still have my dignity intact. Because I feel I deprived Dad of that. He had no dignity at the end of his life.
Ah, well, sorry. Now, Audrey, I'm not, far be it for me to disagree, I wasn't there, but you've been very hard on yourself to say you denied your dad that.
Maybe not me personally, but we were all so engrossed in trying to make him better. We never looked at maybe how he could have had a more dignified end. And yes, I suppose you go through a grieving process, and you go through all the different stages. And maybe I am at the stage of rebelling and going, why did the hospital do this? I've lots of maybe unanswered questions. But I do wish that I had have had the chance to fulfill his wish. And I didn't get that chance because our system doesn't allow it. That's the problem. Dad fell between two stools. There's no system in place, a fast-track system for people to say they're not going to get any better. We've got to get them out of this hospital setting and get them into a calmer, kinder place. And if they have filled out, actually, End of Life Ireland, if you go onto the website page, they have a healthcare directive. And you can actually fill out the form. You can just download it and fill it out. And it actually, you can express your own wishes at end of life and hand it to your GP. And at least then, if there's a big family, the person who's ill, who may not have the ability even to speak, has already expressed what way they want to go. So if, and please God, this is put through for legislation and it does get passed, if that choice is there, nobody will have to make any journeys out of this country. We'll have what we need, a kinder death here in Ireland.
Audrey Farrelly, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Okay, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.